Hey, Kim here. Quick update before you dive into this episode. We've changed the name of our podcast to Rooted in Tomorrow. It's a nod to our shared history and the bright future of our cooperative system. So if you get later in the series to our 22nd episode, you'll notice the change. But most importantly, it won't affect you as a listener or a subscriber. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode.
I think the average person is three generations removed from the farm. So people don't understand where their food comes from. They think, you know, they show up at a grocery store and there's always butter on the shelf. There's always milk there.
And it's a really terrific partnership and relationship, but they are ultimately our bosses of the dairy foods team and our number one supplier.
There's a face behind that butter packet on the shelf. And really just being able to tell our story and them to understand that it is a family farm that's behind it.
Think about the work that you do. What makes it meaningful? Is it the results? Or is it the process? Or is it the promise of something greater? Being a cooperative means we're in this together to build a sustainable future and feed human progress. This is Something Greater, a podcast by Land O'Lakes, Inc. I'm Kim Olson. Follow along with us as we bring you the stories and voices that impact our shared community. From farmer to fork, it's not just a catchy tagline. It's those simple four words that explain what we do at Land O'Lakes. The farmers, they're the owners of our company. More than 1,700 families scattered across rural America producing your food. The fork? Well, that's you, your friends, and your families around the dinner table. Wherever you might be, our cooperative is a network of family farmers, essential workers, ag and animal scientists, all coming together from their families to yours. It's a neighborly gesture, really. Except it may be a few hundred miles from the pasture to the paper sack at the grocery store. You want to know where your food comes from, how it's made? That's not too much to ask. In this episode, we break it down. From the farm, the local milk hauler, and the facilities where we turn that dairy into all those products you know us for. Land O'Lakes farmer owner Lauren Evangelo runs a family farm in California. She's my guest today, along with Heather Anfang, our Senior Vice President of U.S. Dairy Foods. All right. We are thrilled today to have Lauren Evangelo and Heather Anfang with us to talk about where your food comes from. First, we're just going to kind of lay the groundwork, and we want to hear from Lauren, who runs her family farm with her husband, Matt, in Hanford, California. And Lauren, I just would love to take a few minutes and get your unique insight on your operation. You know, when you look at our butter packaging, we have farmer-owned right on the label and pictures of farmers in some cases. Tell us what that means.
So, yes, we're a family-run operation in the Central Valley of California. My husband's family has been farming in this area for over 100 years. So we basically farm with our family every day. So our operation milks about 1,000 cows, which sounds like a lot, but is actually pretty small for our region. And is a mix of two different breeds of cattle, Holsteins, which are the black and white ones, and Jerseys, which are the brown ones. Jerseys tend to be known for their butter fat. So a lot of times that's what you'll see, you know, the butter fat, which would go into the butter that's on the shelf that the consumer's getting.
Tell me where Hanford is, because I think when I think California, I'm California dreaming, I'm thinking surf. Is that it? Kind of tell me about the region a little bit.
Yeah, so we're located right in the middle of the state of California. So we're between San Francisco and LA, and we're 2 hours from the coast and 2 hours from the mountains. So
perfect.
We're definitely not in either of, you know, the ideal places that people think in California, but we can get to them all very easily. So we live in what's kind of known as the breadbasket of the world. We Kings County is next to Tulare County, which is the largest producing agricultural county in the world. Huh. So we're known for that. We have very hot summers, dry hot summers, and mild winters with what we hope is adequate rainfall and snow melt in the mountains, as that's where we get a lot of our water to farm our crops.
Yeah, I've never talked so much about weather since I've come to Land O'Lakes. So that's fascinating. I had no idea when I started here how much dairy there was in California. And then I also had no idea of scale. When you say 1,000 cattle, that sounds like a lot to me, but mm-hmm. but really isn't. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the average size dairy operation in our area is about 1500 cows. So they'll range anywhere from, 500 up to 5,000 cows probably would be a normal, you know, kind of a range in our area. But I like to point that out because I think, you know, the consumer a lot of times represents family farm with, you know, a smaller operation, maybe 25 cows or something that they're milking in a small barn. So even though we are milking 1,000 cows, we're very much a family farm operation, hands-on. So just for the scale, I feel like it's always important to point that out.
Yeah. And were you raised on a farm?
So I actually was not raised on a farm. My family grew up in Southern California, and my parents located up to Northern California, about 40 minutes north of San Francisco, before I was born, and did not come from an agricultural background. We lived out on 3 acres kind of in the country, and I was very fortunate to meet a local dairy farmer up there and just fell in love with cattle. Spent my summers feeding calves with them on their family ranch. And it really helped me kind of find my passion. I started a 4-H and FFA program where I kind of raised my own herd of dairy cattle and eventually went on to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo as a dairy science major. So a little bit unique that I did not come from a multi-generational family farm, but work on it now every day with my husband and his family.
Oh, very nice. So you married in.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Married in and got your education right in, it sounds like, too. That's fantastic. And Heather, you know, in your position with your team in Land O'Lakes, you rely on people like Lauren and their family, I know. Do you want to talk just a bit about how you rely on them?
Yeah, we are inextricably linked to the dairy members and the owners, and it's a really terrific partnership and relationship, but they are ultimately our bosses of the dairy foods team and mm-hmm. our number one supplier. So it's always unique when your number one supplier is also your boss, but we work together really closely to drive value for the farmer's milk and to meet the needs of the consumers in the marketplace.
Well, I always wondered who was the boss of Heather, so I'm thrilled to know that now.
It's Lauren.
I always thought maybe it was the three teenage daughters, but no, it's Lauren. Yeah.
Right.
Get this. More than 2 million farms are in the U.S., and almost 98% of them are defined by the USDA as family-run. For us, family business is not just an attractive marketing term. It's what our cooperative is made of, hundreds of them across the country. Let's talk a little bit. I think an average consumer doesn't probably realize that 98% of farms are family owned. And, you know, now that I've got you here on the podcast, Lauren, I want to know a little bit more. I'd love to talk a little bit about how dairy is produced on your farm. So, you know, just from your perspective, what happens in an average day and kind of what is that like?
Yeah, so our cows are milked 3 times a day in a milk barn. So they are housed in what we call a freestall barn. Mm-hmm. So it's a barn that has, you know, a roof over it, and it has individual what we call beds that the cows can lay in. And the barns are equipped with fans and misters, which come in very helpful in the summer months to kind of keep a climate control. And basically the cows get the food and water brought to them. So they do walk to the milk barn 3 times a day, but from the food and water standpoint, they're fed twice a day. Just a side note, one thing I think is really cool, living in the Central California and kind of the breadbasket, is we have lots of different crops here. So everything from peaches to oranges to almonds. So our cows are great composters, and they're able to eat a lot of the byproducts of them. So during the summer months, we get a lot of the stone fruit, the peaches and nectarines. We actually get kind of the rejects from a local packing shed. And those are added to their salad mix. So they like, you know, the sweetness of it. We do oranges in the wintertime. So they're a big part of kind of the whole that they're able to eat a lot of those byproducts that would really just be going to waste. So yeah.
Now, I know the butter, the cheese that ends up on the store shelves doesn't just get there by itself. And I've heard that you leave your window open in the house in the morning. So tell me why that is.
So yeah, so our milk is picked up twice a day by Land O'Lakes, once in the early morning and once in the late afternoon. And so our house is kind of right on the corner of our farm. And so it's definitely a habit to kind of keep the shades open and make sure we see the milk truck coming through. It always is a good feeling when you know the milk truck's there to pick up the product that you've worked so hard to create.
So do you know where all your milk goes?
Yeah, so all of our milk is taken to two different processing plants in Tulare County. Mm-hmm. So within 30 minutes of our farm is where the milk is taken to be turned into, at one of the plants is more of a powder cheese plant, and then the other is going into butter.
Okay. And I know that you're personally kind of trying to close the gap between the cows on your farm and the consumers at the end of the food train there. How are you trying to do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that is becoming more and more apparent is, I think the average person, and don't quote me on this, but I think this is right, is 3 generations removed from the farm. So, you know, a lot of times, it goes back to, you know, people don't understand where their food comes from. They think, you know, they show up at a grocery store and there's always butter on the shelf. There's always milk there. And it just appears. So I think one of the things that is our constant challenge is explaining to the consumer where their food comes from and how it's created. And I think that's one of the things that it's, you know, we're proud to be a Land O'Lakes producer. And really be able to tell our story. We don't have the manpower or resources to, you know, go set up a food stand on the corner or set up a go to farmers markets. It's just not, we don't have the infrastructure to be able to process and do that. So I think it's explaining to the producer that, you know, that we are, there's a face behind that butter packet on the shelf. Right. And really just being able to tell our story and them to understand that it is a family farm that's behind it.
Yeah, you're sort of getting everything but the handshake, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I would say that that's a little bit of a layup to bring in Heather and her opportunity to talk about us as a cooperative with members like yourself and how we turn the on-farm dairy into recognizable products. Heather, how do we do that from a store shelf perspective?
Yeah, well, it is a large team of lots of different skills and capabilities that get milk from Lauren's farm, you know, all the way to a finished product that's on the shelf in the grocery store, right? So it's the truck driver who's picking up the milk. It's the folks at the plant, the manufacturing plant, that are producing the product that's been developed by the product scientists and developers and R&D that's based on the consumer trends and insights that the marketing and marketing research teams are developing. It's the whole supply chain of folks in the warehouses and managing the orders and the sales team that are out talking to customers. So it is a whole lot of different people, different skills, different capabilities that are working together to move that product through the supply chain to the ultimate consumer.
And like Lawrence Farm, Land O'Lakes has been around for 100 years. So it's interesting. Can you talk a little bit about the company history, Heather, and how same or different the co-op is today?
Yeah. So, you know, it's so fun to think back 100 years ago about these farmers in the upper Midwest who got together and said, boy, if we banded together and we pulled our resources and we created some scale, could we get product out to the marketplace more efficiently? Could we take more margin as we do that? Could we then be creative and innovative and create a brand and bring innovation and new products out to the marketplace? And you thread that forward through 100 years, and that's a yeah. lot of what we're still doing today. It's really the foundation of our company. It's the foundation of Dairy Foods, and it's what we do today, which is how do we manage bringing in the milk, turning it into something more valuable that we can get a premium price for, that meets a consumer need, and that helps people like Lauren, where she says, I'm better with the co-op than I am if I was just by myself and trying to put a stand out, you know, on the corner or at the farmer's market. How do we leverage the scale of all we are together to bring markets and create value back through to the farmers?
Yeah. And, you know, it's so important that it's not kind of a faceless and nameless transaction, because we know these folks. Like you said, Lauren's the boss of you. So, right. And why is that important to you?
Yeah, it's important because it's personal, and it's for consumers, it is tricky, because you think about all the messages you get as a consumer. And if you're three generations removed from farming and you get your news through 140 character headlines, right? It's hard yeah. because yeah. you want to bring a message forward that is relevant and also accessible, but is bite-sized and consumers will care about. Right? So farmer-owned is meaningful. Consumers find that meaningful. They find it important to support American farming. They want to have ties locally. They are much more concerned about working and supporting companies who align with their purpose, much more so than when I started my career. So I've been in the food business for 25 years. And when I started, people didn't really talk about where does my food come from and where am I going to spend my dollars? And that's a reflection of my own values. And I want right. that to, I want to do that differently than, you know, 25 years ago. That is not a conversation that was happening. So it's important, but it's tricky because it's, they're removed. And so how do you get the message out there? How do you make sure it's authentic and true and real? Right. And Land O'Lakes as a brand is just a treasure trove to tell this story.
Okay. So since Lauren and her family are members and owners of Land O'Lakes, their milk produced on their family farm is taken to one of our facilities where the butter gets churned and a heck of a lot more products that you see in the grocery store. That's where scale comes in and why we were founded by dairy farmers nearly 100 years ago. They have the family farms. We have the ability to get all of what they produce to consumers. Let's let Heather Anfang take us down that road. Let me go back to you saying it takes a tremendous team to get the milk from Lauren's place onto the shelves. I know we talk a lot about the process of picking up the milk, and people don't really know what happens from the time Lauren looks out her open window and the hauler comes in. Can you just tell me kind of the steps in creating the products that people know, the butter in particular?
Yeah, well, so, you know, in the case of, you know, Lauren's farm, the hauler's coming to her farm, it's picking up milk, it's bringing it to our facility in Tulare. We are churning. Think of it like that. Like, just like, you know,
turn the butter.
The whole nursery rhymes, right? Like, we are churning the butter. And so the we're separating out the skim milk versus the cream or the fat, right? And the fat is churned into butter, and it's produced through the technology and the machinery to have it in its end form in the sticks, or in a 1 pound print, which is what we sell to food service, or in, you know, what other formats we need. But really what we're trying to do is work with consumers to understand what do they need, want, and how do we create those products, right? So whether that be new innovations that we bring to the marketplace. And so when that happens, then we're bringing new equipment into the plants and we're setting up new processes for producing products. But ultimately that milk goes right into our plant and it goes right into a Land O'Lakes package.
Yeah. I have to tell you all that the alternate name of the podcast was As the World Churns. but oh, thanks. As our world has turned in the last 9 months, we've been dealing with COVID and its effects on every aspect of our life. I imagine, in fact, I know that it has had some effect on the whole process of bringing the product to the shelf. Can you talk about that a little bit and what changes you've seen and what adjustments we've had to make?
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately we sell food, and the way we as consumers are consuming food right now has changed dramatically. So right away in March, which was the height of milk production seasonally, you had a channel that half of the milk in the United States goes into. So half of the milk is produced into products that are sold into restaurants and schools. And when that shut down, which, I mean, if you would have told us last year at this time that was going to happen, I mean, just so unprecedented. I know we've used that word a lot this year, but holy smokes. And the team just has done an incredible job of moving the milk, shifting the production, changing different products that we're producing, selling differently into new customers, working with our restaurant customers to try to stick with them as they try to stay in business. And all of that without having to dump any of the milk.
Yeah. Well, each year Land O'Lakes sources 12.5 billion pounds of milk. And one of the reasons that we are lucky enough to be able to not be in a position where we had to dump the milk is because we have various products, and it's not just butter. Can you, Heather, talk just a little bit about other products that we create?
Yeah, so we have a very strong retail grocery business where we're selling Land O'Lakes butter, we're selling Land O'Lakes deli cheese, which is mainly out in the Northeast. We sell Cozy Shack, refrigerated puddings, we have Vermont Creamery, and then we have some smaller brands kind of in that mix as well. We also have a very healthy food service business, which is really a different set of products. It's mainly cheese-based, and we're selling cheeses that are used in a what we call back-of-house commercial kitchen. So think about you're in a restaurant or you're in a school cafeteria and you're in the big commercial kitchen, and they're especially formulated to perform and get all the great flavor and function and texture and all of the great things that come with dairy without some of the tricky things that come, like breaking apart or burning or, not melting down nicely. So our products are like I said, especially produced to perform in the kitchen. And so that is a good part of our portfolio as well. So as COVID hit and the demand dynamics were shifted, we shifted production into more products of retail, into more grab and go type items for the schools. So for example, we sell cheese sauce cups and string cheese, and we also sell 50 pound pouches of frozen mac and cheese, right? So yeah. less of that and more of the string cheese and the the cheese sauce cups. So lots of, you know, pivoting in real time. And really, we're still very much in it right now as schools are, you know, mostly hybrid, but coming online, offline, right? It's still very dynamic right now.
Yeah, I would... go ahead, Lauren.
No, I was just going to add that, you know, we appreciate the ability to come up and be product innovation, do product innovation, because we can't turn our cows off. We can't tell them, hey, we don't need your milk today. There's plenty out there. So, you know, regardless of what's happening all around us, the cows are milked 365 times days a year, three times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like to say the cows don't care that we're working from home. Right?
Yes. I mean,
exactly.
That is true. That is true. I do appreciate the comments on agility, and also I think another word to characterize what the co-op has done is resiliency. And I often hear that adjective mentioned as well when we talk about food security and keeping the food system going and supplied for consumers. I'm curious if either one of you can talk about how that resiliency has kept that food system moving.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been really critical. I think it was a little shocking for consumers in March when we went to the grocery store and there were some empty shelves. I mean, that was, I mean, and then there was panic buying and, you know, I mean, I think that was a new experience for a lot of consumers. And, you know, ultimately there was a huge shift in demand. And so, you know, we needed to kind of get the supply chain realigned to that. And so there was never, we were never going to run out of food, right? We were never going to, you know, run out of kind of core essentials, but it was a supply chain disruptor for certain. But I think what I will say is Land O'Lakes has a very robust supply chain, and we were able to leverage that to get products to the shelf better than some of our competition, which has helped us this year and has brought new consumers into the franchise, which has been terrific. But all of that, you know, in kind of this umbrella, which is a little different than food safety, but employee safety was paramount. Yeah. And so all of the different things that are happening at our plants and with our, in our warehouses and, you know, with our team to ensure that our employee safety is the top priority has been a huge testament to resiliency, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. That's a it's a terrific answer, because resiliency does oftentimes come down to the team, and you got to keep that team safe. So I appreciate what you've done there. Well, listen, this is such a good and robust conversation. I could go on for another hour, but we've got I know you all have other things to do. The cows keep needing to be milked apparently every day, three times a day. We wrap up the podcast by asking the question, what does something greater, the phrase, mean to you? So if each of you could answer that, Heather, why don't I start with you, and then Lauren, we can finish with you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Something greater to me is a reminder to pause and reflect on what we do and why we do it. I am so over the top proud of the Dairy Foods team this year, and all they've done to move the milk and shift everything and meet the demand. And to me, it was a perfect example of something greater, how we all come together to work and deliver beyond ourselves. But I'm most excited about the greatness to come. There's so much exciting opportunities within dairy, within our world, and it is a very exciting to be exciting time to be a part of the dairy industry.
Thank you, Heather. Wonderful sentiment. How about you, Lauren?
Yeah, I think something greater for me is, you know, we get to feed the world, and it's something greater than just you know, I think a lot of times we take for granted what we do every day. And we take care of our cows. We take excellent care of our cows because they take care of us. That's how we get food on our table, is by them paying our bills. But, you know, when you step back, it's really neat to be part of making sure that people have food at the grocery store to buy, can have cheese to put on a pizza, that we're here to be a small part of feeding the world.
Thank you. I'm going to say you're a big part. I appreciate the conversation, you guys. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Land O'Lakes Something Greater podcast is delivered monthly via our Member Connections newsletter or on our website. Just go to landolakesinc.com, then click on Members at the top right. We're also available wherever you find your podcasts.